Lick Lick, written by Tacky Tiger, read by Myfic. The fandom's heated rivalry, the pairing Shane and Ilya. The rating's explicit, and there are no AO3 warnings. Author's tags are Jealous Ilya Rozanov, Ilya Rozanov loves Shane Hollander, Ilya Rozanov in Russia. Series of vignettes through their relationship, pre-canon and also canon divergent, and also post-tuna meltdown, and also at the cottage. Pissing, non-sexual. Dogs, POV Ilya Rozanov. Ilya Rozanov gets fingered, minor injuries, anal sex, rimming. Summary. Does it count as Shane Hollander walking Ilya like a dog if Ilya buckles the collar on himself and hands Hollander the leash? Content notes. This is a small character piece looking at Ilya's feelings at various points in his life. There's a stray dog and minor dog bite. This scene takes place in an abandoned hospital in Moscow called Hovrinskaya. There's a cool blog post about it, which is linked to on the AO3 fic post. There's a canon divergent scene in New York, takes place post-tuna meltdown. In this, Shane may or may not still be with Rose. He's not, but Ilya doesn't know that. Also, Shane accuses Ilya of flirting with his mom, and Ilya thinks about what it would be like to sleep with her. This is sort of, part of, an almost self-harming thought process he's going through due to experiencing the constant horrors, TM, since the moment Shane walked out, leaving him with jizz all over his Rick Owens. There's a canon extension in Tampa at the All-Star Weekend. I imagine they stay on for an extra night after all the hockey is over. This scene contains semi-public pissing. That's almost entirely, lol, non-sexual. ETA cannot believe I forgot to mention that in this, I have them watch The Crown together while at the cottage, despite the fact that it hadn't been released yet. I haven't actually seen it myself either. I just thought it would be funny to have Shane Hollander, equals Princess Diana, great hair, fantastic legs, caught up in the juggernaut monumentally crushing reality of a fuck-ass institution far bigger than themselves.
I can't go on without you. Can't go on without you. Can't go on without you. Yeah. Can't go on without you.
2007. Ilya and Sveta follow the bobbing lines of torchlight through the corridors. The further into Hovrinskaya they go, the more it closes around them. They say that from the sky, the whole place looks like a star, but down here it's nothing but concrete falling off the walls and yawning mouths of old pipework and the smell of piss. Sasha's friend was supposed to bring some Molly, but he's all out, or never had any to begin with, and they can't afford anything else tonight. Next year, maybe, probably, Ilya will be going to America. When he gets there, he's going to take all his hockey money and shovel so much coke up his nose that it'll light up every pathway from his nostrils straight to his brain, and he'll never have to think about the darkness again. But tonight he's still here. Nothing to do tonight but finish the bottle of middling vodka he's brought. He's so drunk he can't feel his gums. He runs his tongue over his teeth, lingers at the sharp point of a canine. Sveta laughs at the face he's making, so he kisses her, sticks his tongue in her mouth, and licks the back of her teeth along the ridged roof of her mouth. "Watch my lipstick," she says, still laughing like she never even stopped for the kiss, pushing him off, wiping her mouth with the back of her hand. He fixes it up for her, holding her by the chin with one hand, using his thumb to sharpen the line of colour where it's blurred from kisses. He'll mess it up again later, or someone will. That's partly the point of wearing it, probably. Later comes and goes, and it's not Ilya messing her mouth up. He's too fucked up, drinking too steadily and with too much intent. Sometimes he's no fun. Tonight he's no fun. So he gets it. It's okay. Sveta loves him anyway. Sasha, on the other hand? Well, Sasha is somewhere with someone. Who knows? Ilya needs a piss. One corridor is as good as the next in here, but he knows to stick close, keep the edges of the lights of the party in sight. It's easy to get lost in here. The junkies stick to their own arm of the building mostly, but you never know. And there was that boy who died last year, falling down an elevator shaft that had never had an elevator in it. But everyone said that actually he did it on purpose. Whatever. This place doesn't feel good even on the good nights, and tonight isn't a good night. Mama used to come here with her friends when she was just a bit older than Ilya. She used to tell him about the parties. One time she fell into a pothole and broke her ankle, and one of her friends had to carry her all the way out of the building. She told it like it was a funny story, something to be cherished, and maybe it was. Every time Ilya stumbles in this place, he wonders if maybe it's the same hole she fell in. There's a noise behind him. If he was less drunk, he'd be frightened, standing with his dick out in the dark, pissing up against the wall. When he finishes, he fumbles his cock away and gets his phone out, mashing the keypad so the screen lights up enough to see by. The shadow is the first thing he sees, and then he hears the noise again, a near human whimper, a desolate scraping sound. It's a dog, just a dog. He can see it now when he angles the phone screen downwards, though it's barely an outline, just the knuckles of its spine and a suggestion of four lean legs, a hungry pointed snout. "Hey," Ilya says, hushed. "Hey, baby, it's okay." He holds his fist out, squats on the floor, and the little thing flinches nearer, the hesitant, trembling velvet of its muzzle brushing the back of his hand. Ilya has always wanted a dog. He's patient, but he doesn't need to be, because she's starving for his hands, first licking over them, in between his fingers, up the inside of his wrists, and then rolling over so he can pet at the rungs of her ribcage, the slack roll of her belly, studded with knots of nipples. When he stands up, she comes with him, scrambling to her feet, pressing against his leg. She's not big and not little, just reaching his knee. Skinny legs, deep chest. He can't even see what colour she is. He picks her up. Her spindly legs fold into him, chin hooking contentedly over his shoulder so he can kiss the dent that runs down the centre of her skull. One ear flops, the other rises intently, bat-like. Her scent lifts off her skin, animal musk, as her body warms against his. Back at the party, everyone wants her, but Ilya keeps his arms tight around her, feeds her cold fries out of an abandoned McDonald's bag. She eats them ravenously, gratefully. "You can't keep her," Sveta says, appearing out of nowhere. "Your father will never..." "I can't leave her here," Ilya says, and he means it. The noise is a lot, so he takes her to a corner away from the worst of it to escape the too thin tick of the bass through the shitty speaker dock. Sasha's dancing with some guy, shirt unbuttoned all the way down despite the cold. Ilya sits on his coat, tucked against the wall, loose concrete shifting at his back. Above him are the spiny prongs of exposed metal rods. The hole in the ceiling opens all the way up to the sky, every star Ilya can see, part of the architecture of this place. The dog falls asleep against his chest. There must be a way he can sneak her into the house, he thinks, at least for tonight. Tenderly he strokes the bony fins of her extended foot. The movement startles her, and she wakes, snarling. Even in the torchlight, Ilya can see the skittish white of her eyes as she snaps at him. Her teeth catch the bridge of his nose. He feels for a moment her feverish ripe breath and the welter of her slavering tongue, and then he jolts back so she falls off his lap, rolling and whimpering and shivering, and bolts. He takes a torch, but he can't find her anywhere, even when he goes too far into the old hospital, seeing rooms he's never seen before. It's dawn by the time he gets home, blood crusted across his nose. Mama would take him for a tetanus shot if she were here. Because she's not, Ilya crawls into bed and sleeps off the night and most of the rest of the next day, and the Dynamo medic sorts the shot for him when he goes to training on Monday morning. The bite heals quickly. There's barely a scar. And anyway, it kind of suits him, Sasha says. One day, a long, long time later, Shane Hollander will kiss over Ilya's nose on the way to his mouth and notice the pale leavings of the dog's teeth and say, "How did you get this? Did it hurt?" And Ilya will tell him and say, "It wasn't her fault. She didn't mean it. I startled her." And Hollander will listen and nod and kiss him again afterwards. But Ilya doesn't know that yet. Ilya's agent rings him, which means whatever the request is, it's a big payout. "Fine," Ilya says, when she tells him the deal. It's not like he has anything better to do in the week after Christmas. The money is great. He doesn't care about that either, but at least it's something. They want Hollander too. Yulia says it quickly. "That's the deal. It has to be both of you." Her voice is crackly, the sound of traffic in the background. "Well then, it is all over," Ilya tells her expansively. It's almost fun to get to burst her bubble about it. Hollander will never do it. "Hollander is already in," she says. "He's the one who suggested you. Will I tell them to send the contracts over?" "Yes," Ilya says, so quickly he feels stupid. Hollander hasn't been in touch in weeks. When Ilya hangs up, he clicks back into their message thread, treading the same worn path, the one that never leads to anything except Ilya sniffing around him sadly, panting for attention. He sends another message anyway. "See you in New York." Hollander doesn't reply. Ilya's car drops him at the brownstone at exactly the same time that Hollander and his mother get out of Rose Landry's town car, all of them together, smiling at each other. Ilya has to stand there and watch Hollander lean back in through the window, hands splayed on the roof as he brushes a kiss goodbye on Rose Landry's smiling movie star mouth. When Hollander straightens up, he's blushing, looking straight at Ilya, who as usual is here all alone, astray, skulking in off the street after Hollander and his mom, their glossy little pack. The shoot is terrible. Hollander is brittle with everyone else and distant with Ilya to the point where he might as well be in a different room. The photographer is mystified. Ilya feels wretched and probably looks it, despite significant time in the makeup chair. He spends the whole shoot needling Hollander. He's half-hearted about it, if he's honest with himself. It's not his best performance. But Hollander looks agonised the more takes they have to do. It's probably the only thing that gets him to finally pull it together so he doesn't have to spend a second longer than he has to in the same room as Ilya. Once they wrap, they have to sit for 20 horrible minutes to wait for their rides. Hollander's mum sits beside Ilya, and Hollander sits as far away as he can get from them, on the other side of the room, determinedly scrolling through his phone, not looking up. Maybe his mom is just perplexed by how fucking rude he's being, but she makes more of an effort with Ilya than she usually might. She's watched all his games so far, and has a lot to say about them. If Hollander wasn't a looming thundercloud breaching the atmosphere, Ilya might have almost enjoyed it. "So, Rose Landry," Ilya says weakly, out of the blue, hating himself. Hollander's mom bristles slightly, the frost returning to her gaze, and Ilya tips himself back in the chair, bares his throat to look up at the ceiling. "She is nice? She seems nice." "Yes," Mrs. Hollander says. "She's very nice." "You don't know her?" "I don't," Ilya says quickly, leaping eagerly to reassure, realising immediately that Mrs. Hollander must have meant, "Have you fucked her? You've fucked lots of other movie stars, and maybe you've fucked the one my son is fucking. But I am glad you like her. She's good for Hollander?" "She's... Mrs. Hollander is terrible at hiding what she's thinking, the whisper of every tiny expression passing over her face like smoke before dissipating. She looks over at Hollander, who's slumped and graceless, in a low seat, maybe the most unlike himself that Ilya's ever seen him. He says he's very happy, so that's great.
That is great, Ilya says. I hope he is happy too.
You can tell him I said that later, if you like. It's too much and he knows it, even as he says it. Maybe she can tell how much he means it. And Mrs. Hollander's gloss rehardens, and she whips her phone out, tapping at the dense window of multiple unread emails, the room returning to silence. Ilya cowers away from her, turning to his own phone, scrolling, scrolling. From across the room, Hollander looks up suspiciously at them, then clears his throat. The car's here, he calls, swiping something on his phone.
It was very nice to meet you properly, Mrs. Hollander, Ilya says.
He stands as she does, to say goodbye. And then she shakes his hand and offers her cheek for one of those impersonal Canadian social kisses, dry mouths touching nothing but air. Ilya forgets himself at the gesture nonetheless, falling automatically into an over-familiar Russian farewell. Three kisses, switching cheeks, thinking as he does it that maybe Hollander's mum will not like this, will not accept it. But she does, standing quietly with her hand in Ilya's. And then she says briskly, "Goodbye, Ilya." She crosses the room to where Hollander is standing, face red and furious, and helps him into his coat. It's an action she so clearly performed 1,000 times before that she doesn't even notice she's doing it. And Hollander doesn't either, obediently sliding one arm behind him into the sleeve, looking over at Ilya all the while. Ilya pulls his own coat around him, feels like howling with the loneliness of the whole fucking day.
"Shane, sweetheart," Mrs. Hollander says, loud enough for Ilya to hear. "Since we're all at the same hotel, why doesn't Ilya travel with us?"
"Oh," Ilya says, stumbling over it. "Thank you, but, I think..."
"No, Mom, what the fuck?" Hollander says, aghast. "He can't come with Rose. That would be... it's her car. It wouldn't be right to just turn up with Rozanov and expect her to be okay with that. Shane, I'm sure..."
"It's okay," Ilya says. "As much as I would love to meet a real-life movie star, I think perhaps today is not the day." He smiles at Hollander's mom, raises his hand, a definitive farewell. "I have my own car coming, Mrs. Hollander, but thank you."
Back at the hotel, Ilya stands on his balcony and chain-smokes cigarette after cigarette. It's dark already, not that it's ever really dark in New York, and the sad twinkle of Christmas lights far below make him feel vividly nostalgic for the enormous tree in Palace Square, the market at Manishnaya, the dazzle of the outdoor rink. He can't even spend real Christmas with Sveta because he has a game on the 7th. He should order room service, should go out to a bar, should find someone who'll let him fuck them through tonight and into tomorrow. Instead, he stands on the balcony long enough that he can't feel his feet, waiting for the knock on the door that finally comes. Hollander's outside in the hallway, dressed in fresh sweats, different to the ones he was wearing when he got in Rose Landry's car with his mother a few hours ago. The shoulders of his sweater are darkened with watermarks, his hair gleaming, still shower wet, his face pink from the heat. "What the fuck was that earlier?" Hollander asks, and goes to shove past Ilya into the room.
"Hollander," Ilya says, helplessly, and turns with Hollander as he moves, so their bodies are jammed together beyond the doorway,
Hollander between where Ilya's arms would be if he could just be brave enough to raise them. Hollander takes the chance away from him, kicking the door shut behind him and slamming himself into Ilya,
who hits the wall.
"Why did you tell my mom you hope I'm happy, asshole?" Hollander says bitterly, and fits his hand to Ilya's throat, fingers flexing around the meat of it, not quite gripping.
"Hollander, if you want my asshole, you just have to ask."
Hollander doesn't relent. Nothing about his body is soft. That's just the way he makes Ilya feel when he's this close, like some sort of deconstruction takes place at his proximity, all of Ilya's scaffolding collapsing.
"You think you're funny, talking to me about my mom? Talking about my relationship? Flirting with my fucking mom, Rozanov? You're fucking sick, you know that?"
"Flirting? Hollander, what is this flirting talk? Did she say this to you?"
Ilya feels obscurely betrayed by Una Hollander, who, after all, is so beautiful and also accomplished that she must be very used to men wanting her and should know the difference.
"She didn't have to."
Hollander lets Ilya go, shoves off him with the flat of his arm, elbow the shadow of a jab to Ilya's stomach.
"I was there, you dick. I was watching you."
"What was that? Some sort of fucking game? You're trying to make me jealous? Or were you actually trying to fuck my mom?"
Ilya is speechless sometimes for reasons of language. The slipping away of the Russian word without the English one rushing in to take its place. But this is not that. He is speechless now because there are things he simply cannot say. Things like, "Yes, yes, I wish to make you jealous. And yes, maybe I would fuck your mom if I knew it was the closest I would ever get to having you again. And maybe even, you have her eyes, her nose, the same smile." He cannot say any of that. Cannot say that now he's thinking about it. He's thinking about fucking Hollander's mom, about the way her body might feel under his, about sliding right into her, knowing that Hollander is part of her, indelible. Instead, Ilya gathers himself, holds the words inside.
"You care who I fuck, all of a sudden?" he replies.
"Whatever, fuck you," Hollander says, and then he's in Ilya's space, grabbing at his shirt with his fists, a full-strength tug, so Ilya's centre of gravity shifts. Hollander's mouth is right there. He's kissing Ilya, and Ilya's kissing him back. Ilya's tongue is in Hollander's mouth, hungry for it. He presses hard into the upper ridge of Hollander's teeth, feels the pinprick tip of Hollander's canine.
"Okay, bed," Ilya manages, shoves his thigh between Hollander's legs as he walks him backwards, letting Hollander lead him by the mouth until they stagger formlessly, entwined, onto the bed.
"Fuck, your hands are freezing," Hollander complains, as Ilya gets his hands under his hoodie, drags it off him. He smells like nothing, like he's rinsed every hint of himself down the shower drain, but Ilya gets his face right into his armpit, burrows his nose right into the hair there, licking until it's all flat with spit, and Hollander's lats and pecs are flexing with tension.
"Pants off," Ilya says, finally, struggling back up onto his knees, pulling at his own shirt.
"I'm going to suck your dick, and then come all over your tits."
He thumbs at one of Hollander's nipples as he says it, so neat and peaked and rich with colour. Hollander breathes out, unsteadily, noisily.
"Can't we just... I mean, I don't have much time," Hollander says. "Mum and I are meeting Rose for dinner, so if we're gonna..."
He sits up and starts wriggling out of his sweats, obedient as always. His forehead knocks off Ilya's chest, and he kisses along Ilya's shoulder absent-mindedly, licks open-mouthed around his nipple, then brings his hands up around Ilya's chest, squeezing the muscle there so his nipple is pushed deeper into Hollander's sucking mouth.
"If we are going to what, Hollander?"
Hollander pulls off him with a wet sound. Ilya whines, rises off the bed so he can kick out of his pants. Hollander's not wearing underwear. His dick is already shining with a pearl-head drop of pre-cum. Ilya's mouth fills with spit.
"Look," Hollander says, matter-of-factly, "I'm just saying, if we're gonna fuck, we need to get moving." He looks at his watch, which isn't one of his fancy sponsorship watches,
the ones he's supposed to wear whenever he's getting photographed anywhere, but the boxy fitness tracker that still, even this deep in winter, leaves a paler patch just where the skin of his wrist is softest. I have about 40 minutes before someone comes looking for me, but I'll need to shower again, and Ilya grabs his hair, a heavy fistful of it, the strands slipping tight between his fingers. It's still damp, a waft of warm shampooy scent and clean scalp rising from it.
You showered already?
Yeah, but I'll need to shower again after, if we...
No, Hollander. You showered.
You came to this room ready to be fucked? Hollander in this moment looks so like his mother, Ilya almost tells him so, just to piss him off even more.
I thought it would save time.
So practical, Ilya says. What would your girlfriend say about this? Does she appreciate this sort of efficiency? Hollander is mottling under Ilya's gaze, the soft-edged shower pink turning to full flush, chest to throat to cheeks, as though Ilya's very eyes are raising it.
Don't talk about her,
Hollander says, face upturned to Ilya, holding still in his grasp, nowhere to hide. His lower lip is swollen from kisses, sticking out petulantly.
You can fuck me or I can leave, but we're not bringing Rose into this.
Ilya releases Hollander's hair, gentles his palm down the back of Hollander's head, then pulls him in to kiss him again, as easy and controlled as though no words are sticking in his throat, no need is howling through him at the sound of Hollander saying her name.
Fine, if you want it so badly, Ilya breaks off to say, and Hollander sighs, a sweet relieved sound, and sways into him.
There's lube in Ilya's suitcase and condoms, but Hollander lies back and murmurs, my pocket. When Ilya checks his hoodie, he's bought a travel bottle of the lovely silky lube he orders online. Ilya still has a bottle of it at his house. He's used it once since the last time he saw Hollander and ended up not being able to get himself off, the smell in his nose bringing him panting and wet-eyed back to the horrible, vivid memory of Hollander's hole, his hands. There's a strip of condoms too, Ilya's usual brand. On your back, Ilya tells him, and Hollander lies there, placid, waiting. Ilya mouths down him like every kiss is an exhale, breathless, leaving wet trails down Hollander's body. He nuzzles at the crease of Hollander's thigh, where his scent is finally breaking through the anonymity of his shower. There's a tussle when Ilya licks lower, pressing Hollander's leg up to his chest. Hollander kicks at him, Ilya's fingers sliding into the humid, clenched space behind his knee. And then Ilya finds the soft furrow of his rim, his spit wetting and flattening the walls of hair, his tongue eager and relentless in a helpless, lapping rhythm. Hollander's eyes are squeezed shut, light catching on his damp lashes. When Ilya's mouth moves to his balls, the sound he makes is almost a sob. His dick throbs and kicks. He'll come if Ilya sucks him, so Ilya doesn't. On your knees, Ilya says, finally, putting on the condom briskly.
No, Hollander says. Like this.
And he rolls onto his side, reaching up a hand dreamily to pull Ilya down behind him, a spoon within a spoon. Ilya goes, willingly.
In me, Hollander says. Come on, fuck now, Rozanov.
His hole is still damp from sweat and Ilya's mouth, and Ilya's cock is slick with lube. He practically slides straight in, just a nudge to ease past the clinging outer muscles.
Yes, Hollander says, all gratitude.
Ilya noses at the back of his neck, tongues the notches of his spine.
Hollander, he begs, teeth to skin. Can I? Do it. Fuck.
Hollander says, and Ilya's teeth clamp down on the meat of Hollander's shoulder. He wants to shake him, wring him out, wants to haul him by the scruff and keep him pinned, but instead Hollander moans and grinds back into the cradle of his hips, forcing him to stay just where he is, going slow. This is just like all the other times, despite everything that's happened since. Ilya taking grateful sips of Hollander's taste, the liquid slide of pleasure down his spine as the fuck loosens him up, lets him get lost. He comes with his mouth full, tongue sliding over the dents of his own teeth, notched into Hollander's shoulder, scavenging for scraps. The Tampa night is long and blissfully warm compared to Boston in January, anyway. And Montreal too, or so Shane says at the bar. They have one more night here in this perfectly nice hotel. One more night to wreck the bed. One more night to kiss Shane senseless, then fuck him back to himself. Last night, Shane told Ilya he likes him too much. Last night, Shane saw Ilya cry. Last night, Ilya did not have to be alone. Tonight, Ilya has hours to live in the memory, hours to make some new ones, to tag along after Shane from the convention centre to the dinner, to the bar, and now to the beach, running to heel, sniffing around him. Shane's every easy smile, yet another chokehold on Ilya's neck. It's true dark now, which means it must be late, but time seems to have the same endless potential as the whole huge open night sky above them. Ilya wants to get Shane back to the hotel room so they can fuck. Ilya also wants to stay here forever, shoes off, feet in the sand, the taste of bad beer in his mouth, Shane less than an arm's length away, keeping him close. "Come on," Vaughan shouts, and gets up, kicking off his slides. "Don't be such a bunch of pussies. Let's go, boys." "It's too cold," someone groans, one of the Tampa guys, maybe. "Are you kidding?" Vaughan's down to his underwear now, grinning. "It's perfect swimming weather. Who's in?" There's a second where the mood of the night could tip either way, and then there's a surge of movement, everyone scrambling up onto their feet, clothes puddling on the sand. Shane looks at Ilya quickly, a raised eyebrow smiling look, and then they're racing, Ilya's feet tangled in his shorts, buttons straining and maybe giving as he rips his shirt off and breaks away for the water, which is little more than a whispering, shivering shadow further down the dark beach. Shane's beside him, elbow bumping into Ilya's flank, a hard shoulder check as he shifts his speed up a notch, hardly even breathing unevenly. His bare feet leave prints in the sand, and Ilya strains to catch up with him, and then before they know it, they're in the shallow surf, water sucking and grabbing at their shins. Ilya plunges forward in one long, arcing leap. The cold is shocking, his breath punches out of him, chest heaving, and then he's back on his feet, hair sopping and dripping as he shakes it out, all over Shane, still shivering beside him. "Fuck, it's cold," Bennett shouts. "My dick is shriveling up here." "Sure," Vaughan says. "Blame the water." Ilya wades deeper, out to his waist, sinks into it buoyant. Behind him, he hears the guys splashing and shouting, dunking each other, all of them speaking the same good-natured physical language he's been speaking since he was a teenager. "Not too cold for you?" Shane, quietly bobbing beside him, the perfect pale curve of his cheek glowing with reflected moonlight. The others are staggering out of the water, heading for the piles of clothes, the half-drunk beers. "This is like a warm bath," Ilya says, finding his feet. "But if you are cold, we can go in." They move together out of the shallows and onto the suck of wet sand. They can hear the others far up the beach. "I need a piss," Ilya says. Hollander's smile is sly, sideways, teeth glinting wet in the dark, a mouthful of stars. "You're a filthy fucking animal, Rozanov, you know that?" The others are far enough away now that even their shouts sound muffled. When Ilya looks back up the beach, he can barely see them. "It's the fucking Gulf of Mexico, Hollander. A little drop of my piss is far from the worst pollutant in here. Besides, I know you need to go too." He eases his underwear aside, letting the waistband drag low until he can scoop his dick out. Hollander stands a safe distance apart, back to the beach. He's watching Ilya. Ilya's not really getting hard, but it still takes a second for his stream to start. The warmth of his piss so pleasurable he shivers. All right, Shane says, and tugs his shorts down at the front. His dick is pale and tender in his hand, water lapping at his feet. Feels nice, Ilya murmurs. Shane tips his face up to the sky, closes his eyes. Can you stop looking? He says. You're kind of making it hard for me to go. He's half chubbed up already, just from Ilya watching him. And then Ilya sees the twitch of his dick, the slow, almost imperceptible relaxing of his shoulders as he starts to piss. They're not close enough that their streams can mingle, keeping plausible deniability with that 4-foot gap between them. But Ilya can smell the hot, concentrated odour, both of them marking the sand where they stand. Mutual territory. Fuck, Shane says. I really needed to go. Ilya should tuck himself away, but he keeps his dick in his hand, fingers curled around it. If they were alone, he could press up behind Shane, could hold his dick for him, tuck him back in when he's done. You coming back to my room tonight? He asks, already knowing the answer, preemptively preening with it. Obviously, Shane says, and the tide advances, whispering against them, gently nudging them back up the shore. I would love a dog, someday, Ilya says. He speaks into Shane's stomach, where he's sucking a bruise under his ribcage, Shane quivering and trying to stay quiet. I think I'm more of a cat guy. Really? Shane manages, which is so far from accurate that Ilya laughs, catches the hair of Shane's treasure trail in his teeth, and tugs. A cat would not suit Shane. He does best when he gets the attention he wants, exactly when he needs it. Ow, fuck Ilya, quit it. Also, you travel so much. Would that really be fair on the dog? You will love my beautiful dog, Ilya says. I will have a special dog hotel for her, for when I am on a roadie. And then I will come back and will never be lonely again, because my princess will always be so happy to have me home. Ilya, Shane says in his warning voice. I can share my bed with her, Ilya goes on. The bridge of his nose tickles. He swipes at it, feeling the phantom click of a hound's teeth over the bone. His face feels dry and tight from hours of sun, from swimming in the lake and then the long shower. He needs some moisturiser. Well, Shane says, it'll be our bed, probably, right? So I should get a say. Unless is still a factor for them. Their I love yous are still brand new. Shane is not asking the question because he's still not sure the question is his to ask. This thing of theirs has a shape, but it's so huge they can't make out the boundaries of it all. We'll need time to map it out. Yes, Shane, this is true. It will be our bed. I did not think you would be so cruel as to make a little dog sleep alone, of course. But we can compromise. She can have a special bed in our room. I know you're just kidding around, Shane says, swatting at Ilya's shoulder, wriggling down in the bed so they can look at each other's faces in the unrelenting sunshine, so close that Ilya can see the dew of sweat starting at Shane's hairline, sitting in the hollow of his throat. But I just think some of the things you're talking about are a big deal, you know? I don't like that you feel lonely. I didn't know that about you. And I want to be the one who makes you feel better when you come home. He looks dismayed. It's the first time since they got back from his parents' cottage that he's looked like this. Ilya has already gotten used to him looking always happy, has gorged himself on it to the point where he'd forgotten it could be different. He smooths the crease between Shane's eyebrows with his thumb. You cannot always be there, Shane. This is all I mean. I have always wanted a dog, a little hairy friend who lives in my house. I have wanted one since I was a child. But my father, well. But I think maybe any plans for the future must from now on always be made together, yes? Which is why I tell you this, so maybe you can think about if you would love a dog, too. Shane smiles, squinting into the sunlight, dazzled and dazzling. If you get a dog, you'll love it more than you love me. You'll have it sleeping in the middle of our bed. I'll be like Princess Diana in The Crown. Remember? He does a little pout, puts on a terrible accent. There are three of us in this marriage. You know what they say about a dog's love, Shane? It is what they call devotion, yes? It means that the thing you love is the very centre of your world. You see, surely, that I am already devoted. You have been at the centre of everything in my life for so long, Shane. This is not going to change. He bites lightly at Shane's mouth, along his cheek, thumbs at his lip. All right, Shane says. We'll get a fucking dog. And he sucks Ilya's thumb into his mouth. You want to suck my cock? Ilya asks him, pressing down on his tongue, hooking his knuckle over Shane's bottom teeth. I thought maybe I could. Shane starts, garbled, and grabs at Ilya's ass. Can I? Okay, Ilya answers, not knowing what Shane wants yet, but knowing he probably wants it too. Yeah, Shane says, breathing heavily. Okay, up on your hands and knees, I think. Ilya kneels in the bed, their bed now, probably, and lets his head hang down. His eyes are getting heavy. Shane is stroking him, along his flank, over his ass, right down his thigh, then back up again, drawing shivers everywhere he touches. When Shane pries him open, Ilya doesn't move, just shuffles his knees further apart, so Shane can kiss him chastely on his hole, his balls, the back of his thigh, which is starting to shake. I'll use lots of lube, Shane says, rustling around in the bed to find the bottle. It's easier in this position when you're not used to it. Next time I'm going to do it with you lying on your back so I can see you, but not the first time. Okay, Ilya says obediently, his own voice echoing back to him from under his body, rough with desire. He doesn't want to tell Shane it's not the first time, that he's been fucked before. But of course Shane is right, because when his fingers finally push in, cool at first with an excess of lube, two at once because he has no mercy, it feels entirely new. Like Ilya was something before, and is now something else. He's tethered here in this bed, the only point of contact between them, the space inside his body that now belongs to Shane too, like everything else about him. Ilya squirms on Shane's fingers for who knows how long, rutting into the empty air. He doesn't even want to come, because then this will all be over. When Shane pulls out of him, he whines, high and demanding. Hey, Shane whispers, voice shaky. Fuck, Ilya, please. Come on, lie down, on your back, okay? I need... Yes, Ilya thinks, automatic, such a good boy. And he rolls over, belly up. The end.